I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, the Washington Education Association is big mad at us, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Plus, the Afghan national who is accused of murdering one National Guard soldier in D.C. and critically injuring another has ties to Washington state. We'll discuss. And blue states are suing the Trump administration so they can continue their failed approach to homelessness. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com. And for today only, expiring at the end of the day today, we are offering 30% off a subscription to Undivided. Just use the promo code SANITY at patreon.com/undivided. That's patreon.com/undivided. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. We're going to talk later on in the show. I know you're all eager to hear about it, and you've probably been following this all weekend, the ties to Washington state of the Afghan national who opened fire on National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. So we'll discuss a little bit of that in national. But I just had to start with this. Apparently, I ruined Thanksgiving for the Washington Education Association. Oh, that's so touching. And I'm so grateful. I was trying to come up with things I was grateful for. And, you know, my list was relatively short. I feel like I have a great life, but this might be at the top of the list now. So you'll know that last week on the show, we had this great exclusive. And I will say, there is nowhere left to hide for the WEA. It doesn't matter what they do. Private meeting, we're going to get a copy of it. Private email, we're going to get a copy of it. We now know everything you're doing and saying behind the scenes. And I understand that that probably angers you, but the reality is it's because you have turned against an entire segment of teachers. You have made it clear that the Washington Education Association is about pushing left-wing ideology. And so you've alienated teachers who are reasonable humans, maybe apolitical even, moderates, conservatives, and you've made it very clear that you don't like them, you don't like what they stand for, so it really can't be a surprise to you that you now have members of the Washington Education Association who are turning against you and are feeding us information, but apparently they're very perturbed by this. So you recall on the show last week, we had secretly recorded video from a Washington Education Association meeting where they were talking about the ways in which they were gonna fight the two Let's Go Washington initiatives, one of them to keep boys out of girls' sports, the other one to protect parental rights. And the WEA can't have either of those things. They can't, oh my gosh, we can't stop boys from playing against girls. We can't allow parents to know what's happening with their kids at school. And so we aired a couple clips from this secretly recorded meeting and it made the WEA seem absolutely unhinged. Here's part of it.
So there's not like a serum test, any test. There's not a, I can eyeball your genitals and tell what sex you are. Mm-hmm. I can't even look at your chromosomes necessarily and tell what sex you are. I'd have to like sequence you and then still it would be kind of as you define it. So sex ends up being really a more of a social and philosophical construct than a hard biological construct.
Yes, that was a so-called expert on a WEA meeting saying that she couldn't even sequence a genome. She claimed to be an expert in genetics. Can't even do a DNA test to figure out whether someone's a man or a woman. This is the kind of stuff being discussed on WEA meetings, and so understandable that they'd be embarrassed by that and might not want the general public to know how unhinged they are behind the scenes. And then, of course, we played a couple clips about them actively plotting for how they are going to maintain the status quo and keep parents out of their kids' lives. One of the things they discussed is how they're upset that this one of these initiatives would require schools to turn over mental health records on kids to their parents.
You're seeing that all the mental health records, the protections are removed, and so those would now be available if a parent requested all of them.
The horror. Oh my gosh, this initiative to protect parental rights would allow a parent to request their child's mental health records. If their child is like seeing some sort of therapist at school, maybe their child's suicidal. Maybe their child is dealing with these internal demons and thoughts that they might be a boy when they're really a girl, or vice versa. Oh, parents don't have a right to know, though. That is the opinion of the Washington Education Association. So we heard those two clips and many more last week. It was right before, I think we aired some on Monday, some on Tuesday, talked a little bit about it on Wednesday. And apparently it really ruined the WEA's Thanksgiving. So that was leaked to us. And then a totally different person leaked an internal email that was sent out to staffers at the Washington Education Association. So this isn't a particular, this didn't go out, and it's very important to understand this context. This email wasn't sent out to every member of the WEA across the state, all the teachers. Oh no. This was sent out internally to staff members of the union. And it talked about me. Let's read it, shall we? So it's from a woman named Julie Popper, who is the spokesperson for the WEA. She's their communications individual. The subject line, another right-wing attack. Okay. There's some lines in here that I just absolutely find joy in, like the fact that she says, WEA colleagues, this is not the way we wanted to start a four-day weekend. But as a union, we do what we're proud of, and we're proud of what we do. And then at the end, she signs off, I hope you can enjoy the long weekend. So she's about to talk about the leak that we aired on our show and is literally suggesting that they might not be able to enjoy their Thanksgiving weekend because this is so hard on them, that we leaked video of what happened in their meeting. There's also this funny part where she sends WEA staffers, she includes a link to one of my segments. She says, if you must see it, this is the video. But it's very triggering and infuriating. Very triggering and inferior. They use the word triggering. I thought we just used that word to like, oh, they're triggered, you know, to make fun of people who are easily triggered. No, they use the word themselves. So let me just read this full email and then I'll go through some parts of it that I think really stand out to me on a broader scale. WEA colleagues, this is not the way we wanted to start a four-day weekend, but as a union, we do what we're proud of and we're proud of what we do. Ultra-conservative podcast host Brandi Cruz is at it again. And this time she's found a WEA member to record our meetings. We anticipated this would happen and will happen again. We can count on her to take things out of context, to assign responsibility to the organization for everything members say, and to fan the flames of her reactionary base that is already 100% against us. If you must see it, this is the video, but it's very triggering and infuriating. I've already received a few random emails from non-members who want to tell me what they think. We can expect non-members and conservative members will want to say something about this. We do not have any responsibility to respond to non-members. For members, we recommend saying this. Elected WEA state board leaders have voted to endorse the WA Families for Freedom campaign. That's a campaign against the initiatives. Recognizing that the initiatives could directly impact our jobs as educators, making schools safe and welcoming for everyone. Leaders are also concerned about new requirements and burdens that initiatives would impose on schools and educators. We understand that in a large organization like ours, there are a variety of perspectives and opinions, and encourage you to engage in your union to make sure you are heard. So that's the little boilerplate that they're telling WEA staffers to send to conservative teachers who might be mad about the content of what we showed on the video. So Julie Popper goes on to say, if you need more information on the initiatives, please check out our background research. This is no different from every other right-wing attack. When we respond, we extend its relevance. The frustrating but strategic approach is to let it pass, take the blows, and move on. We will not apologize for our principles and values, and we know the attention is coming from people who have already made up their minds. Hope you can enjoy the long weekend. Oh, I'm sure some couldn't. I'm sure some were so, as you said, triggered by the release of their own words. And I'm going to hone in on a couple aspects of this email in a moment, but let me just, for the record, in when they say that I'm going to take things out, I take things out of context, we played their words back to them. So what are you mad about? If you're proud of what you're talking about behind the scenes, if you're proud of your strategy to defeat these two initiatives, then why would you be concerned if the public hears it? This is the strategy you're going to use to convince voters not to protect girls' sports and not to protect parental rights, isn't it? So what are you so upset about, really? I mean, you have people on your meeting who are characterizing themselves as experts in genetics who are saying that they couldn't even sequence your genome to determine if you're a man or a woman. Do you not believe that then? Because then say it. Because you said that I'm going to assign responsibility to the organization for everything members say. Okay, is there something in that meeting that a member said that you don't agree with? You had that woman. She's an expert in genetics. She took a great deal of time on this Zoom meeting talking about how gender and sex are a social and philosophical construct. So now is the time, WEA, if you don't agree with that, if you think that you can, in fact, tell someone's gender by their DNA, then why don't you come out and say that? No, because that is genuinely what you believe, and it's what you're going to push to voters. So let me talk about a couple things that I think are more important than just me laughing that they were triggered by me in this email. So the use of the phrase right wing, again, to describe me, ultra conservative. So I'm an ultra conservative podcast host saying this is no different than every other right wing attack, etc. To me, it's less about them assigning labels to me and more an indication of how they genuinely feel about anyone they perceive as being on the right. Now, just putting aside that for a second, the label of me is ultra conservative, again, because this is going to come back to, and I really want to speak to teachers who are members of the WEA when I say this. I am by no means ultra, I don't even know what ultra conservative means, but I'm far left on a variety of issues, or I'm in line with liberals on a lot of social issues. Like, how can I be ultra conservative when I'm pro-choice? Pro-gay marriage. There's a variety of positions I hold that are fairly nuanced. And so describing me as ultra-conservative, I wouldn't even have described myself as a conservative until like 2 years ago. And I wasn't even a Donald Trump supporter until like a year and 3 months ago. So ultra-conservative, right-wing. So if they assign that label to me, imagine what they think of people who are actually tried and true conservatives and who have been. They think you are the scum of the earth. But it also shows, back to the email for a moment, when they talk about, we can expect conservative members will want to say something about this. So they're basically admitting in this email that they are for Democrats, that they are liberals, and that conservatives are on the outside, that their values don't align with conservative teachers, with people who are ultra conservative and right wing. So they're supposed to be a nonpartisan organization in terms of, you know, while they donate to Democrats and everything they do is in line with the Democratic Party, they represent members of the union who are from all different areas of the state, red and blue, and who span personally the political and ideological spectrum. But this just shows they can't pretend anymore to actually represent. And Nicole, can you pull that email back up? I want to, again, this is, I think, the biggest takeaway. If you're a conservative teacher, you need to know that they hate you. And I don't use that phrase lightly. They genuinely hate you. They hate you. They hate your values. They hate everything that you stand for. And it's crystal clear in this email, because going back to what I said at the beginning, remember who this is going to. This isn't to all members. This is to staffers. This is to the bona fide, that the full-time job is to work for the Washington Education Association. So this, again, is their internal reaction to the segment I did on my show. And what their internal reaction shows now publicly is that anyone who disagrees with them is right-wing, anyone who disagrees with them is ultra-conservative, and anyone who disagrees with them basically has no place in the union. That, to me, is the biggest takeaway here. I also think it's funny that they're sending this internal email mad about a leak of a video, and we get a leak of the internal email. Nowhere left to hide. Nowhere left to hide for the WEA. So again, in taking that in and saying, okay, you know, they're attacking us for just, what, showing the public what they're talking about behind the scenes? Why are you so embarrassed about it? But it really, in case it wasn't clear already, they genuinely hate you if you're a conservative. And they'll label you and they'll vilify you as evil and triggering and all of these things. So if you continue to be a member of the WEA as a conservative or even, frankly, a moderate, because it's a moderate position to say boys aren't girls, That's the reasonable position. It's a moderate position to say parents don't give up their parental rights when they send their kid to public school, and parents have to maintain those rights. So if you're really anywhere right of hard left, anywhere right of progressive, the WEA does not represent your interests. The WEA is not interested in hearing your opinions. The WEA doesn't like you. They don't like people like you. So why would you continue to be a member of that union? Why would you continue to give them power in the form of membership dues and money? Because that's really how they maintain their power. The WEA has a lot of money. Where do they spend that money? On efforts like this to oppose the citizen initiatives. They spend it donating to Democrats who are going to pass laws like pay for striking workers, which takes effect in 1 month. So their power is in their money. And they use that money to gain influence in Olympia for Democratic causes, for progressive causes. So if you're a conservative or even an independent or a rational moderate Democrat, why would you continue to contribute to that? And I hear from people all the time who we say this and they say, oh, I don't really know where to start, or what does this mean for my job if I leave the union? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to give you a very, very easy way to do this today. So pay attention. And this applies, by the way, to any union in the state of Washington. You don't have to be a member of the union. You can opt out. And there's a simple website to get you started. So if you go to optouttoday.com, optouttoday.com, this is put together by the Freedom Foundation. optouttoday.com, and a map will come up. So even if you don't live in Washington, this applies to you too. But for the sake of, you know, our show, we'll click on the state of Washington. And what it does when you click on the state of Washington is it takes you through, and Nicole, you can roll that. I think we've got some video of what it'll do. It'll show all the unions that you could be a member of and that you could opt out of. And so you'll find the WEA on there. So if that's your union, click on it. And then it'll take you through literally step by step exactly what you need to do. You'll fill out some information, the type of job you have, where you work, et cetera. And it even has a section there for frequently asked questions. What happens after I send my resignation to the union? How much are the dues? Will the union continue to represent me? Will I lose wages? How will my relationship with the union change? What about my liability insurance? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is so easy. Every single step is laid out for you. So again, that website, and I'm going to put out a graphic of this so you guys can have it, so you can click on it, from the Freedom Foundation, optouttoday.com. Optouttoday.com. And that's how you do it. And it's that simple. So we appreciate the Freedom Foundation putting that together, optouttoday.com. And you can go through that, opt out of the union, and or maybe you feel like you want to stay in and be a mole for us. That's an option too. You can stay in the union and you can be a mole for us. And that's productive as well, I would say. Let's just say that, like, yeah, I can afford the dues, not a big deal. And it's worth it to you to provide us with information, because we really want to get to the point where the WEA has nowhere left to hide, where they can't do anything behind the scenes without us finding out about it. And I will also say, they're just so indignant about being exposed and having this meeting being recorded and put out there. And when they say in that email, what was the line? We have no responsibility to respond to non-members. So they're saying that we're getting angry people who are sending us emails about the content of that video. We have no responsibility to respond to non-members. Technically, yes, but I disagree, because remember, the WEA gets more than $100 million in taxpayer funds from their Democratic friends who they helped get into office. Remember, we exposed this last year where they're giving them, like, I think $87 million in this current budget that goes to some teacher training program. And so the WEA is, in part, a taxpayer-funded organization. And so they do have a responsibility and a fiduciary responsibility to everyone in the state of Washington who helps fund them. So this idea that they think internally, we don't have any responsibility to respond to non-members. Well, I'd send them an email anyway. Keep it polite, obviously. But you do have the right to send them an email. and to demand to know why they're trying to upend initiatives that the voters support, to demand to know why do you believe boys should play in girls' sports, to demand to know as parents, and it's not just, by the way, the taxpayer funds that go to programs like that, you fund schools. You fund schools through your property taxes. And so every single person in this state has some skin in the game when it comes to what the WEA is doing behind the scenes and what they're pushing and what they're planning for. So by all means, continue to send the WEA emails. And I rarely do this, but I would send some emails to Julie Popper. I would keep Julie Popper quite busy on this week back from vacation. She wants to call me right wing. She wants to call me ultra conservative because what? I don't believe boys or girls? I believe in parental rights? Wow, if that makes me ultra-conservative right-wing, then sign me up. Crazy, I know. So, WEA, I'm so sorry that I ruined your Thanksgiving. Not sorry at all. All right, coming up next, infuriated, people are trying to help me say that word better, and I had to say it several times. Infuriated. Over this story, it came out last week. We just had a lot going on, and I wanted to make sure I did it the justice that it deserved. 45th time, the Attorney General of Washington is suing the Trump administration, this time so they can continue to keep people in homelessness, squalor, and drug addiction. It is probably the most disgusting lawsuit of the 45 that Nick Brown has filed against the 47th president of the United States. We'll discuss it coming up next. First, with talk of an AI bubble, are you concerned with the risk exposure of your retirement portfolio? Are you not sure? Brandy, I don't even know what that means. I've got it in here. Just let it ride. Reach out to our friend Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital. If you haven't given any thought or your financial advisor hasn't really talked to you, if you have questions about a potential AI bubble and the impact of AI on your retirement portfolio, just get a second opinion with Zach. So go to knowyourriskpodcast.com and schedule a free Know Your Risk portfolio review. So Zach can talk to you about the impact AI is having on the market, do a preview for 2026. He can talk about how critical Bulwark's deployment of value investing is to retirement portfolios. Plus, he'll do a full reveal of how Bulwark is always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, and give your retirement as much upside as possible. So we often talk about the maybe four times a year, Zach will have these live webinars that you can join, and those are fantastic, but this is a more personalized version of that where he can talk to you, his team can talk to you one-on-one about the risk of your retirement portfolio is exposed to. So schedule your free portfolio review now, and while you're there, subscribe to Zach's Daily Market Recap at knowyourriskpodcast.com. That's knowyourriskpodcast.com. All right, the current Attorney General and the Attorney General of Washington before him, Bob Ferguson, really are trying and have tried to make a name for themselves by fighting Donald Trump. That's it. So many things happening in the state of Washington, so many problems that desperately need their attention, but they are laser focused on the occupant of the White House. And they will fight him on anything and everything, even if it means keeping more people living on our streets in poverty and addiction. This segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that. So last week, Attorney General Nick Brown's office announced that they were going to, in other states, blue states are doing this as well, sue the Trump administration over a HUD policy, housing and urban development, that would put more people into homelessness, they declared. So you'll remember a few months ago, President Trump signed an executive order to dismantle Housing First. This is related to that. So it says the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development is illegally upending supports for tens of thousands of Americans experiencing housing insecurity or homelessness with abrupt changes that will limit access to long-term housing and other services. So this is a lawsuit. It's led by it's a coalition of states, but it's led by Washington and Nick Brown. HUD is drastically changing its continuum of care grant program in violation of congressional intent by dramatically reducing the amount of grant funds that can be spent on permanent housing and project renewals and putting new unlawful conditions on access to the funding. These requirements include that providers only recognize two genders, mandate residents accept services as a precondition to obtain housing, and punish providers in localities that do not enforce strict anti-homeless laws. So that just on its face is astonishing to me. So, of course, Washington has one of the worst homeless crises in the nation. California, Oregon, specifically areas like LA, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, are dealing with a profound homelessness crisis that's just been getting worse and worse and worse. And there are a lot of different reasons for that, but fundamentally, they have leaned into this failed concept of housing first. This idea that you can just pluck someone out of a homeless camp on the streets and throw them into an affordable apartment, and that is going to get them on the way toward recovery, which is so stupid. And it's been proven time and time and time again that it absolutely does not work. But there's that line in there, and we'll get to some comments from Nick Brown in a moment. There's that line in there, mandate. So one of the requirements HUD, the federal government, is now putting in place for the money that goes to these, you know, affordable apartment units, etc., is there's a mandate that residents accept services as a precondition to obtain housing. That's what our state is willing to sue over. And that is such a common sense idea that, hey, in order to take this person out of a homeless camp where we know the vast majority of them are there because they're addicted to drugs and put them in one of these units so they can better their lives, they have to agree to get help. They have to agree to, while they're there, get mental health counseling if that's relevant, get counseling for their drug addiction, get help, get treatment for their drug addiction. And Washington State is so opposed to that idea that they're suing the Trump administration. They're basically suing the Trump administration so they can continue to do what we've been doing on homelessness, which has done what? Made it worse. By any measure, the homeless crisis has been made worse in Washington State by policies like that, by cities and counties that have a accepting environment to homelessness, because that was one of the other things they list here, that the Trump administration is punishing providers and localities that do not enforce strict anti-homeless laws. Well, that's because they know that localities that don't enforce strict anti-homeless laws have this ballooning problem that then costs hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, every single year. So they want you at every level to show, as a city or a county or a state, that you are doing what you need to do to make the homeless crisis better, not worse. And that is just such a problem for the state of Washington. So Nick Brown has this press conference, and it's so embarrassing to me that he gets up just like Bob Ferguson before him. Remember, Bob Ferguson would have all these press conferences. Oh, we've sued the Trump administration this many times and this many times. And of course, Bob Ferguson was rewarded for that by becoming governor. And so now Nick Brown is making this his entire personality trait.
This marks the 45th case that we have brought against the Trump administration in the last 11 and a half months. The tie that binds all of these cases together is Washington State's resilience in the face of unconstitutional or illegal actions to protect the best interest of our state and the people of our state. And we will continue to do that every day and fight and challenge those unlawful actions.
It's been 10 months. And he sued the Trump administration 45 times. That is above and beyond what Bob Ferguson even did. That is nuts. And for him to say in the context of this lawsuit that it's in the best interest of Washington State to keep doing what we're doing with homelessness. And by the way, when Trump came out with his EO, you'll remember that he had support across the political spectrum from people who are working in these spaces in places like California and Oregon and Washington, who agree that we can't continue to do housing first. It's very expensive and we're not seeing results from it. And I'll talk more about the evidence of that in a moment. But Nick Brown talked a lot about what he thinks the consequences and the dangers are of the Trump administration putting more restrictions on how these affordable housing units can be utilized.
These funds help people in Washington going through some of the most difficult situations that you can possibly imagine. We're talking about survivors of domestic violence.
Nope.
Families struggling with chronic homelessness.
Nope.
People that are exiting treatment facilities or
yes.
for the foster care system.
Okay. They always go to the 2% of cases because they think that homelessness is a housing issue, which if you think of it in a very simplistic way, like a five-year-old, oh, homelessness? How would I fix that? Oh, a house. That was my five-year-old impression. Is that pretty good? Yeah, no. So he talks about domestic violence or families that really just have no safety net, nobody to rely on, and they fall into homelessness. Does that happen? Of course it happens. Domestic violence, that's a real thing. We have, though, a ton of nonprofits that specifically deal with that segment of the homeless population, which is very, 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 very small, thankfully. People fleeing domestic violence or mothers with their children. If you're falling into homelessness in a state like Washington with such a massive social safety net around this issue, and you actually don't have a mental health or a drug issue, we can help you like this. And if we can't, then that's a problem because we got billions of dollars dedicated to this issue. The real barrier and the real challenge is helping the people who have a severe chronic underlying issue that is preventing them from having a productive life, from keeping a job, from keeping housing. Drug abuse, mental illness, sometimes both. So of course they always focus on this, oh, it's people fleeing domestic violence. Nope, if you're fleeing domestic violence and you can't find a place to stay, like literally email me, I'll find you a place today. It'd take me 1 hour. Take me 1 hour. If you're a family that just couldn't afford your rent, you have nobody there to help you out and you're about to fall into homelessness, you email us, I'll find you a place in 1 hour. If I don't find you a place in 1 hour, I'll pay for a place for you. And that's how confident I am. I could literally find a place for you. I'll make 2 phone calls, find you a place in 1 hour. Because there's so much of that. There is so much of that. And that's not the issue we're talking about here. It's not the issue President Trump was talking about. So it's always about deflection and distraction. He talks about why the state believes housing first is so important.
Congress has recognized that homelessness is a personal crisis that requires immediate stabilization and continuing support to reverse. However, the Trump administration's cruel decision carelessly upends one of the nation's best programs for stabilizing people in vulnerable situations. This isn't how we treat people in Washington, and we won't let the federal government do this to the people of this state either. Lives are literally at risk by this decision.
This is not how we treat people. This is not how we, okay, how are you treating people? You're letting them live in filth and squalor and addiction. You're letting the crisis get worse and worse and worse. I mean, it has ruined cities. It has led to economic despair. So that's not how you treat people the Trump way, but this is how you treat people? And I think the worst part of this whole press conference, and I'm going to get to some reaction on this and the sort of proof of what's actually happening here. They have this whole press conference. And you know, like they try to keep us out of these things. And I'm sure we're going to fight this fight in Olympia again this year. I've heard that Democrats are gearing up to try to block me and Jonathan Cho from being able to go to press conferences just like they did last year. So we're probably going to have to threaten to sue them again. But all of that, and then you look at the state of legacy media. So he's out there announcing this major lawsuit to try to keep Washington's homeless response basically at the status quo and opens it up to questions. There's one reporter who asks a question and a little follow-up. And there's another person who asks like a small, short, little technical question. And that's it.
Can you get some feel for how much money is at stake? Like how much does the state of these organizations bring in?
Across the country, I'm not sure, it's $120 million here in the state of Washington.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, seeing no more questions, thank you again for coming and have a great Thanksgiving, everyone. Appreciate it.
Wow, and I know it's Thanksgiving week, but there's really only one real question. And then he's like, oh, thanks, no more questions, great. Yeah, that's the state of legacy media. And you want to keep us out of those environments because why? If you had some robust media ecosystem, we had a bunch of reporters in there asking questions, getting the, and what weak questions. I think the Jim Bruner one was about, you know, the other states involved and all of that stuff. And then this chick is just like, how much money's at stake? No questions about, hey, gee, 45 lawsuits against the Trump administration in 10 months. Is this the appropriate use of your office? Hey, everything we're doing so far has failed. Homelessness is even worse. We have one of the worst homeless crises in the nation. We have one of the worst overdose crises in the nation. None of that. Nothing. Nothing critical. No pushback. Nothing at all. Signed, sealed, delivered. Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone. Absolutely insane. So reactions to this are pretty consistent, again, across the common sense spectrum. So whether you identify as a Democrat or a Republican, but you have common sense on this issue, I think people are starting to realize that, look, okay, I get it, you don't like Donald Trump, but what we're doing isn't really working. We Heart Seattle, our friend Andrea Suarez, just a few reactions to this on social media. Washington is suing HUD to stop the redirect of funding toward drug-free recovering housing and work requirements for the chronically homeless. And of course they are. God forbid they stop using drugs inside supportive housing where hundreds die annually from overdose. Jonathan Cho, who has covered this issue more extensively than any other member of the media in Washington and maybe the country, said WAAG Nick Brown is clueless. I challenge him to leave the comfort and safety of his office to experience the horrors inside the permanent supportive housing hellholes in Seattle. Trump's plan will save lives. Why is Brown protecting the homeless industrial complex? Our friend Tom Wolf, who is now part of We Heart Seattle, but used to be homeless and drug addicted on the streets of San Francisco, said California is also suing HUD to maintain the status quo around housing the homeless. Here's some data. San Francisco spends $450 million a year on rent subsidies, and 30% of OD deaths happen in that housing. And we know that this is such a reality here. So I mentioned Jonathan Cho, who, again, has covered this issue more extensively than probably anyone else in America. So one of the things that Nick Brown is trying to protect through this lawsuit are these affordable housing units that get money from the state and localities and also get funding from housing and urban development. But as Jonathan Cho has pointed out in his reporting, these places, because of the lack of restrictions that states like Washington, cities like Seattle have, the very restrictions that Trump is trying to put in place, these facilities have become de facto drug and death dens. Here's one report Jonathan Cho did on Plymouth housing.
We Heart Seattle's Andrea Suarez and I followed Mike Matzik for several months.
Hey, you saw the fentanyl, right, when we got out of that?
Andrea, what is that?
Well, I would say that is probably somebody that went through withdrawal and crapped right here in the hallway.
Matzik reached out to Suarez for help, saying the conditions inside the building were becoming unbearable.
You got rats in here?
Yeah, rats underneath there, crawls underneath, and a whole bunch of mud there.
He's been forced to move rooms several times and says he's feeling hopeless.
Okay, so you can't even lock the door when you leave?
No, I can't.
Why don't you go to management and ask for a new key?
They don't have a key for that block right there either.
Oh my gosh.
Is anybody ever using this phone since the 80s?
Matzik recently invited us over as he smoked fentanyl with his friends.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Mike, who's in your room?
Drug use inside the rooms are a regular occurrence.
And this unit is a trap house. Mm-hmm. This is a garbage can full of foil, drugs, revolving door.
So does the staff here at Plymouth Housing, do they let you guys do drugs in here?
They don't say no, but they don't, you know.
It's legal. This is a harm reduction place.
This is harm reduction?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they provide, the paraphernalia, like the pipes and...
They give you the pipes downstairs?
Needles or whatever, yeah.
I mean, the staff knows you guys are doing drugs in your room, right?
All right.
But nobody's intervening on your behalf, making you guys go to treatment.
No. Suarez says what's happening at the Lewisden Scargo is an absolute failure of the Housing First model, which essentially warehouses homeless drug addicts, no strings attached.
You don't have to be clean. You don't have to be enrolled into a program. Yeah, there's no accountability, discipline, or structure at all.
In many cases, they're not getting better, and at times, overdosing and dying in their rooms.
I thought you had a case manager that was going to get you transferred out of here.
I also spoke to other residents here who say case managers and staff quit so often, it feels like no one is around to help them find jobs or take that next step out of this situation.
Each person I've had pretty much doesn't exist. I mean, they've been here for like, I've met them like two times and then pulled quit or whatever.
Yeah.
I reached out to Plymouth Housing about these concerns and allegations, but so far no response.
The conditions in this place are almost worse than on the streets.
Yeah.
I have cockroaches and rats in my tent, you know what I mean?
That's what Washington State is trying to protect. That's what Washington State is suing the Trump administration to keep doing. The Trump administration wants to put some simple requirements in place. Hey, these people have to be in active treatment if they want one of these units. That's common sense. That's how, I mean, they're in there openly smoking fentanyl, doing drugs, crapping on floors. They look like homeless encampments with a roof over their head. hasn't improved their situation at all. And we spend billions of dollars on it. I mean, this might sound cold, but if you're going to leave them in filth and squalor and addiction, if that's whether they have a roof over their head or whether they're in a tent in a park, I mean, does it really matter? Is there really any difference? So why not just not spend the billions of dollars? Well, the answer is simple. It's because there's too much money in the housing first approach. Karen Lee, who's the CEO of Plymouth Housing, she makes almost $400,000 a year. The woman who runs those buildings that Jonathan Cho just showed you, filth, squalor, rats, human feces, substance abuse, she makes almost $400,000 a year. That's the answer for why Nick Brown is willing to sue the Trump administration to keep that going. And then people die in the units, that's fine. They can bring in another person. And they're not fixing their situation. They're not solving the homeless crisis at all. They are fueling it. They're fueling it. And why are they fueling it? Because they get rich off of it. They get rich off of it. And those buildings can look like that. You can have those 911 calls endless. You can have people dying, body bags being rolled out all the time. And Karen Lee still makes almost $400,000 a year. Oh, and by the way, buildings like Plymouth, DESC, they don't want you to know that. They don't want you to know that because they want the gravy train to keep coming. They want to justify suing the Trump administration and painting Donald Trump as the one who's heartless for wanting to ensure that people are getting drug treatment. And so what do? Well, they ban people like Jonathan Cho from going inside. It's a legitimate poster up in a DESC building. If you see this person, please don't engage. Jonathan Cho is a local figure known for producing misleading, sensationalized content that targets homelessness service providers, showing what's actually happening behind. Nobody else is doing that. Putting a camera inside those apartments to see the filth, to see the drug abuse, to see the human feces, to see the infestations. And they say that he's sensationalizing it. No, they say that and they vilify him. They vilify Donald Trump because it's easier than, I don't know, doing something that works. But doing something that works isn't lucrative. I don't know how to wake people up to this. If you're a progressive, if you're a liberal and you care about the homeless, how can you not care about this? How can you say we shouldn't require treatment? How can you say that we should continue to fund situations like that, where those people are still abusing drugs and dying? And Jonathan Cho in that story talks to a guy who did get out of treatment and he, you know, has been in there. And you think that it's helpful for him that people are in there using drugs, that drugs in there are so readily available? No, you could have someone who has all the right intentions, who goes to treatment, gets an apartment, and then they're back basically in a drug den. How could you? That's sick. That's sick to put someone in that situation who wants to get better, who wants to improve their lives, who wants to get treatment, and then you house them in a drug den. That's like having Gamblers Anonymous right inside the casino. That's like holding an AA meeting at a bar during happy hour. You expect them to get better and you house them in a drug den. And then you sue the Trump administration with our money to keep doing it so people like Karen Lee can make $400,000 a year. How do we still allow this? Someone, please tell me why you support that. A progressive, a liberal, a Democrat who says, yay, 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 let's keep doing this. Please contact me. Tell me what I'm missing here. What am I missing? No, we're going to sue the Trump administration so we can keep people living in filth and squalor and spend and light billions of dollars a year on fire. Unbelievable. I'm going to lose my voice yelling about it. Wild. All right. Speaking of unbelievable, we'll get to our actual segment, Unbelievable, coming up next. And then, of course, we are going to talk in national news about the ties, the Afghan national who murdered one National Guard soldier, critically injured another, has to Washington State. First, reach out to our friends Valentine Roofing for a whole slew of services involving your home. But roofing is the key thing they do. And they were just awarded Best Roofing Company in the Pacific Northwest. For the third year in a row, we only advertise with the best. So a couple things that Valentine can do for you this time of year. I think one, custom holiday lighting. Like I said, why do that yourself? The tall ladders, the marital disagreements. Just let Valentine do it for you. Reach out to Valentine for that. They also do gutter cleaning, installation, attic insulation, exterior cleaning, and of course, roofing. So when you call Valentine, you get honesty. If your roof can be repaired, they won't try to push you into a new roof. But if you do need a new roof, you can rest assured knowing that your roof will have a lifetime warranty, and they have flexible financing options, including zero down, 0% interest. Taking care of your home has never been easier. So schedule your free estimate by calling 206-ROOFING. Again, call 206-ROOFING. Please tell them you heard about them on Undivided. And if you get custom holiday lighting, send me a pic. I'd really love to see it. Looking for ideas for our home. Mike really likes, I think I've talked about this before, the icicle lighting. Mm-hmm. I gotta be honest, not the biggest fan of the icicle lighting.
It's not crisp.
It's not crisp. And also the traditional ones, they get caught up on each other in the wind. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think if we have Valentine over for custom holiday lighting, I'm going to have to tell my husband, I'm sorry, to ruin your Christmas dreams. No icicles. It's got to be, and he's a little OCD, so he shouldn't want that anyway. He should want the measured out, you know?
I know, yeah.
Anyway.
I've seen his bullet lights. Into the bullet
oh
lights.
Yeah, my husband has these. When we're gonna get far afield here, we'll move on, but we go to Watershed occasionally and we set up a tent and we decorate it, and my husband has these shotgun shell Christmas lights, like red and green shotgun shells. Those are also not going to be on the exterior of our home. Anyway, call Valentine 206 Roofing and schedule your free estimate. 206 Roofing.
Maybe that would be good.
I don't know. A little warning.
Just so you know.
If we have fake shotgun shell lights on our home, what do you think we have on the inside if you try to break in? You know what I'm saying? All right, let's get to our segment. Unbelievable. Oh, bribing voters. Is it a bribe? Is it not a bribe? We'll discuss. So there is a group called We Are Ella. And apparently in the lead up to the election, this is in the Yakima area, they decided to host an event around getting ballots in. And if you came to the event, you could win a television set. They raffled off a TV. This is from our friends at the Center Square. Yakima Republicans are calling for an investigation into election raffle prize giveaway. So the group, again, Ella, it's called Empowering Latina Leadership in Action. Ella is a Chicana Latina-led social justice organization rooted in advocacy and leadership cultivation to increase Chicana Latina representation as key decision makers across all sectors, working toward economic, educational, environmental, and political equity. All the buzzwords there. So many. What did Dory used to do? The woke word dice. Yes, maybe we need a woke word dice sounder just to keep that memory going. All right, more from the Center Square. So the Yakima County Republican Party is calling for a statewide investigation into an activist organization that hosted a ballot-related raffle during the 2025 general election in Sunnyside. According to a social media post that were sent to the Center Square by the Yakima County Republican Party, an organization called We Are Ella held an event related to ballot printing, ballot submission, and voter registration that featured a raffle for a television and other high-value prizes. The goal was to encourage voters to show up and turn in their ballots or register to vote on-site for the November 4th general election. So basically, they do it all. You come in, we can even print an extra ballot. If you can't find your ballot, we can register you to vote, whatever it is. Yakima County Republican Party Chair Matt Brown spoke with the Center Square on Wednesday about their concerns. He explained that upon alerting the local auditor's office, the response indicated there was potentially a reason for concern. Ultimately, the auditor's office submitted information to the Yakima County Prosecuting Attorney's Office, which issued a written warning acknowledging that the conduct appeared concerning and close to violating state election law, but no further action was taken. And this has angered the Yakima County GOP. Their chair says, "Our organization follows every election law in Washington. We Are Ella violated the standards set out in state law, yet they walked away with a warning. If any Republican group had tied ballot activity to a prize, they would face immediate consequences. Equal enforcement must apply to everyone, not just to those the state finds politically convenient." Now, you know what this reminded me of? And when I thought about, okay, am I being morally consistent here? So I thought about immediately the Let's Go Washington gas price events. So Let's Go Washington held events when they were trying to repeal the Climate Commitment Act, where they would roll back the gas prices at a specific station for a certain period of time to show what the gas prices would be without the Climate Commitment Act. But the difference, and what did Democrats do?
Well, they filed ethics complaints. I think that Let's Go had to like go defend themselves over them. And so Democrats, when Let's Go Washington had an event where it involved, you know, luring people in basically in this case, low gas prices, Democrats lost their minds about it. But here they're raffling off free TVs. And I do think that there is a difference. So the participation in the Let's Go Washington events, you and I volunteered at one of them. You didn't have to sign anything. You didn't have to do anything election related. In fact, a lot of people who rolled up didn't even know there was an event. They just saw that the marquee at this gas station had really low gas prices. So they just waited in line to get cheaper gas. There was no pressure. There was no anything. You still got the gas. Everyone did. It wasn't a raffle. It wasn't anything. Everyone got the cheaper gas who came in, regardless of whether they cared about the initiatives, knew about the initiatives, or wanted to sign the initiatives, or had already signed the initiatives. So to me, it's a much different situation than luring people into this TV and bringing them in to turn in a ballot, etc. Now, I'm curious what you guys think. Is it the same? Is it different? Should you not be able to do anything like this? Should they be able to raffle off a TV if they want to encourage civic engagement? I don't know. I think the question is, in that scenario, what's the pressure like? You know, if they're bringing you in with the promise of a TV and then they're like, but you have to vote for a Democrat. But you have to fill out your ballot in front of us and fill in the circles so we know you voted for a Democrat. You know, what is that like behind the scenes? And I'm not sure we really know. But either way, the fact that everybody just, it's unbelievable.
Do you agree that the consequence may have been more had it been
100%
Republican
group? If Republicans had did that, guarantee somebody would have prosecuted them with something. 100% different standards of justice. A warning letter. Just a warning letter from the prosecutor's office. Just a warning letter.
And it's not like you can take it back. It's already happened. So
it's already happened.
Don't ask for permission. Forgiveness. Oops, sorry.
Oops. Yeah, we won't do it again. All right, coming up next, the ties an Afghan national who carried out a shooting in D.C. have to Washington State. First, I've encouraged you guys to take the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com. You, like Undivided viewer Christine, could save thousands of dollars a year. Her carrier was dissolving. She panicked. She's like, I got to find new insurance in 30 days. She had a complicated policy. 2 businesses, home, 3 cars. She's like, I am screwed. Nope. She remembered me in her ear. Christine, take the First Mark Challenge. And she's like, oh, that's right. They did it. Saved her $10,000 a year. She has fantastic insurance for $10,000 less than her previous insurance. She's kind of like, gee, I wish my carrier had dissolved sooner so I could have figured this out sooner. But you don't have to be like Christine and wait. You could do it today. Your carrier doesn't have to dissolve for you to take the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com. FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. And you're with us. They already treat everyone great, but they're going to treat you extra special when you call and tell them, Brandy Cruz sent me. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you. All right, this is, I don't know how I feel about this. I think there's been a lot of, I don't want to say needless sensationalism, but I think that this is a nuanced issue. We have to look at how this happened. So, of course, we ended the show on Thursday with the breaking news that there had been a shooting in Washington, D.C. And in fact, at the time, so, of course, the National Guard has been deployed to Washington, D.C. to assist with crime issues. I've seen them out there firsthand. And in this instance, these were guardsmen from West Virginia. And I think when we ended the show on Thursday, the governor of West Virginia had said both of them had died, and he came back and corrected himself. But either way, a tragic incident. So U.S. Army Specialist Sarah Beckstrom, only 20 years old, from West Virginia, did die of her injuries in this shooting. Air Force Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf, 24, of Martinsburg, West Virginia, is in critical condition. Just this morning, it came out that he's showing some small signs of improvement. I know President Trump had briefed the media over the weekend and said that he talked to Staff Sergeant Wolf's family, and they felt hopeful that he could recover from this, but he's still in critical condition. So we know that there is an Afghan national who has been arrested. He's going to live, and I'm glad about that, because I always prefer, rather than they die in a hail of bullets or take their own life, like, I want them to live, to face justice, and so we can try to understand what happened. So the shooter is Ramanullah Lakhanawai, 29, an Afghan national. And here's, I guess, the kicker to this. So he was part of a secret unit of Afghans who operated with the CIA in Afghanistan and helped to hunt down Taliban commanders. So he is one of the many, many individuals who
came to the United States during the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan under the Biden administration. Now, we'll get into more of sort of his ties to Washington in a moment, but let me just say, in case we've already forgotten, Republicans and Democrats, when the withdrawal happened, were in favor of Afghans who helped the U.S. military in their mission, were in favor of helping them escape the Taliban. I mean, that's just the truth. And I understand that we're going to talk about vetting and all of these things, but there was, especially from former service members who'd served in Afghanistan, there was an all-out emergency effort to try to help these Afghans and their families escape during the withdrawal. So let's not act as if Republicans didn't support bringing them here. And I, at the time even, and I was hadn't gone through my red-pilled moment, but when I was at Fox 13, I helped lead a drive for household goods for Afghan families that were going to be fleeing here, and a lot of them were going to be winding up in Washington State. So I can't even act as if at the time I didn't want them here. Now, there is also a now in hindsight, and I do believe there was concerns about this, how do you properly vet them? This was a situation where literally planes were taking off and people were clinging to planes. So we knew in the moment, they're not going to be able to properly vet these people. Some of them went to third-party nations before they came here. But I think we all know that was a disaster. The withdrawal was a disaster. Had it not been a disaster, we would have had more time to figure out, properly vet all of those things, how those Afghans were going to get here, which should come here, which should not, etc. So the disaster of the withdrawal is the true crisis here. In my opinion, it is my show. Them coming here, I believe still, in most instances, was the right thing to do. It's going to be unpopular among certain people, but if they helped our service members, and in many of them in ways that ensured our service members weren't killed in action. So if they helped our service members at great personal risk to themselves and their families, I am in favor of them being here. But obviously they have to be properly vetted. And they need to be here the right way and legally. And then eventually, you know, if they become citizens, provide and help our country. So this guy, the news that came out over the weekend and why we want to talk about it today, he was living in Washington State. He was one of the many Afghans who came with his family after helping the CIA in Afghanistan hunt down the Taliban, who came to Washington State. He ended up living with this well-to-do white family. Our friend Jonathan Cho, is this the Jonathan Cho show today? Go support Jonathan Cho because he does so much great stuff. Jonathan Cho goes up there like on Thanksgiving weekend to try to talk to the couple that housed this guy when he first came to Washington.
Long driveway.
According to a now-deleted GoFundMe page, Ramanullah Lakhanwal and his family temporarily lived in this massive Bellingham house owned by Stanley and Valerie Creighton. The couple hosted Lakhanwal, his wife and four kids, after they came to the U.S. under the Biden administration's botched withdrawal from Afghanistan back in 2021. The Lakhanwals eventually moved out to this government-subsidized apartment complex in downtown Bellingham and lived here quietly for several years. After Lakhanwal was named the prime suspect in the shooting,
clearly see the dents left behind.
Neighbors say they heard federal authorities trying to break down the door to his apartment a few days ago. It's unclear where Lakhanwal's wife and his children are now staying.
I don't even care about that couple. So that's one thing on social media that's been circulating is you have this woke white couple, longtime Democratic donors, of course, people pulling all their records and stuff for political donations. Honestly, good for them. Because you have all these woke white liberals who are like, let all the illegals in, let all the refugees in. You think they house them in their house? No. So I almost give this couple credit. And I'm sure they've had probably a pretty rough few days. It's not their fault he came here. That was the U.S. government. And they kind of lived their values by saying, oh no, we want you here and we'll give you a place to live. So for the record, I am not mad at that couple at all, and I really don't think that they're deserving of any criticism, and I haven't heard anything where they knew or should have known what he was about to go do and why he traveled all the way from Washington State to D.C. to murder National Guardsmen. So another thing is like, well, I don't really necessarily blame this couple. So Kristi Noem went on ABC this week and she talked a little bit about how this guy from Washington State, this Afghan, wound up in the United States under Biden and then kind of what's happened since then.
Why did he do this? Why did he drive across the country and carry out this brazen attack in Washington?
Well, the investigation is still ongoing, and we're allowing our partnership with the FBI and DOJ to continue to reveal all of the sources of motivation. But we do believe this individual, when they came into the country, we know he was unvetted. He was brought into the country by the Biden administration through Operation Allies Welcome, and then maybe vetted after that, but not done well based on what the guidelines were put forward by President Biden. And now, since he's been here, we believe he could have been radicalized in his home community and in his home state. So as we continue to talk to his family and his contacts, more details will be revealed and we'll release those when it's appropriate. But this is something that for these individuals, when they're brought into our country, it's a dangerous situation. If you don't know who they are, if they're coming from a country that's not stable and doesn't have a government that can help you vet them, that we shouldn't allow it. And that's why I'm so grateful that President Trump has taken the action that he's taken the last few days to stop all asylum, to stop all processes that bring people into this country until we ensure that we know who these people are.
Yeah, and that is so there's a lot of legitimate stuff there because the Trump administration's hands aren't clean in all of this because he was living here under the Trump administration as well and had been able to continue to live here legally. So the questions are, you know, to what extent were they vetted initially, right? How could that even have taken place in a coherent way, given how much of a disaster the situation was and how quickly the withdrawal happened? I think we all agree that it probably couldn't have been done in a legitimate way. Where are all of these people now? And should they continue to be here? So have they, you know, what have they done since being here? I mean, it's been several years now. We also know that there are a ton of people who've come up with no vetting whatsoever, who weren't part of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, who came up through the southern border, or who are from Afghanistan. And so that's a whole separate issue. But he was granted, this guy was granted asylum in April under the Trump administration. So their hands, again, aren't clean in this either, is why would you grant him asylum? But also there's this third sort of thing out there. He could have just snapped. He might not have been some like long-term plant operative terror cell who was here. He could have literally went mentally crazy and decided to go down there and shoot people. We just don't know. And in that case, if nothing on his background indicated that he'd been radicalized or anything like that, then it's not really Biden's fault and it's not really Trump's fault. Just happens to be a guy who came here from Afghanistan who'd worked with the CIA who freaking went nuts. We don't know. And so I'm sorry, I'm not going to rush to judgment on this situation. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't think that there needs to be another round of proper vetting on all of those individuals. 100%. It wasn't done then. It probably hasn't been done since. So the actions the Trump administration is taking now are absolutely appropriate. And if this person went down there thinking that this was going to stop the Trump administration from having National Guard troops out in D.C., obviously that's not going to happen.
Have directed the Department of War to mobilize an additional 500 troops to help protect our capital city. We will make America totally safe again, and we will bring the perpetrator of this barbaric attack to swift and certain justice if the bullets going in the opposite direction haven't already done that.
Yeah. He's talking about, but he's going to live. So, you know, the justice will come in a court of law. And there's, you know, I'm going through all these scenarios because I want to get away from this very reactionary sort of like what I see on X, where there's this automatic assumption he was radicalized. He was always a terrorist, came here. I think we have to give room to think critically. Right. We need to get all of us better at doing that, not just believing what our timeline feeds us. But there's also this other kind of fourth option, which is he got here and he wasn't radicalized in Islam. He was radicalized by Democrats. You know, whether he's from Afghanistan or someone who lives in Washington State who's been a citizen all their lives. Think of the rhetoric being spewed about what Donald Trump is doing in D.C. and about Donald Trump in general. and about ICE and immigration enforcement and all of these things. That has been enough to spur American citizens to act out violently because of what they hear on things like MSNBC and CNN and what they hear from their fellow Democrats. I mean, that is, to me, when I look at what's the likeliest scenario, I put radicalized by Democratic rhetoric right up there with radical Islam. Could have been either of those things. I almost, given his target, I think that it's a higher likelihood he's radicalized by Democrats. And even after the shooting in D.C., and even before, you know, it was corrected that they hadn't died, I mean, when the West Virginia governor came out and said he died, the chief reaction from left-wing talking heads was, oh, this is Trump's fault for even having the National Guard in D.C., for using them as political pawns. They blame Donald Trump. They'll blame Donald Trump for anything. But it was a disgusting response that feeds into this dangerous environment that really anyone in uniform is operating under right now, whether you're ICE or National Guard or police officers who are getting mistaken for ICE agents. It's just an insane environment. And the Democrats really hold the responsibility for the rhetoric that they've been using that has led to violent attacks. Will this be another violent attack that was spurred by Democratic rhetoric? We don't know, but I think we'll find out. All right, switching gears to something a little fun. I love this. Old State Saloon in Idaho. It's a bar in Idaho. The owner, Mark Fitzpatrick, he's been in the headlines before. This is the bar that declared June Heterosexual Awareness Month. You remember that? Well, now they have a new shtick to get people in the door. This is in Eagle, Idaho, by the way. Alert! Anyone who helps ICE identify and ultimately deport an illegal from Idaho gets free beer for 1 month at Old State Saloon. For the month of December, it's Merry Snitchmas at Old State Saloon. Manly American Mondays. All American citizen males who support ICE get one free beer. Ladies, I'm telling Tuesdays. BOGO, buy one, get one for American women willing to tell ICE about any illegals to get them deported. Wednesday is the old classic. American heterosexual couples get 10% off their entire bill. Get married and make American babies if at all possible. Oh my God. Oh my God. Manly American Mondays and ladies, I'm telling Tuesdays. So snitch, get a whole month of free beer if you can prove that you got someone deported. The Department of Homeland Security responded with this. What show is that from again? What was that
Dinosaurs.
Show?
Dinosaurs. You remember that?
No, I do. I just couldn't remember the name of it.
It's like early 90s or late 80s, something
Dinosaurs.
Like that.
Dinosaurs. They're classic. Excited about it. They're speaking of bribery. All right. Old State Saloon responding to backlash. Libs can't handle the awesomeness and are mass complaining to Idaho Alcohol Beverage Control about alleged violations, trying to get it shut down. The free beers will continue until the liberal whining ends or until Idaho State Police say it has to, but we don't think that will happen. Carry on, deport them all. And they say, another follow-up, people are recommending we beef up security. Reminder, our organic coffee is always free for veterans. Idaho veterans, come hang out at the Old State Saloon often this month and enjoy a cup and the snitchmas season. Get armed. God bless. Yeah.
Do you get it?
I don't think that... this is the bar that I would come into trying to cause trouble.
Right.
I don't think I would ever leave if my goal was to come in there to hurt people or cause trouble.
No.
Probably not the one.
It's probably not the one.
Yeah, like we talked earlier about maybe Mike decorating our house with the Christmas lights with the bullets.
Shotgun shells.
Kind of a similar mm-hmm. situation. Yeah. Like it's not giving vibes of F.A. Because then you'll F.O. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I like it. And I say, hey, more power to you. I mean, people are just done.
They're
just done.
And you know what?
And they're sick of the whole, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. There was a Trump moment this weekend that I think he's had it. We're just sick of everything's offensive. And
oh, you mean Trump using the R word? Yeah. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. I had to shelve the Tim Walz segment for today because we had so much going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Trump used the R word in a post. I am not prepared to bring back the R word publicly. Privately? Maybe. Remember, Jay Inslee used the R word.
He did.
He did. We'll play that tomorrow, too. Remind me to play that. But yeah, this is the thing where I talk about free markets.
Yeah.
I think as a business, you really should be able to do whatever you want. I think you should be able to do... you. If you're a business in Seattle and you want to say no white people welcome, I think you should be able to do that. And the free market will dictate whether your business can survive.
Right.
And that's what how I felt about the gay bakery situation, the Supreme Court ruling. Is like, hell, if you don't want to paint, if you don't want to bake a cake for someone because you don't like their haircut, you should be able to do that. Or I'm not baking cakes for any blondes today.
Right.
It's like, okay. And then the free market will dictate whether your business can survive. So if people in Idaho are offended by this, don't go. I don't think you were going to this bar anyway. Just gut tells me. Mm-hmm. But they've obviously decided that they don't think that this will cost them their business. So fine. That doesn't bother me at all. Free market all the way.
Yeah. The government should not be able to tell you who you... Yeah, or how to run your business,
no,
I guess.
100%. Free but, beer.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. I'm sure they'll have quite a few protests in December, by all means.
They're posting the responses they get. They're posting the voicemails they get and the emails that they get.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, they are vile.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
It is not Christmassy content.
Does not surprise me at all. All right, we'll get to our daily subscriber show poll and all your wonderful thoughts of the show today. First, it was nice to see our friend Wes Jones. We were in on Wednesday. Wes stopped by. Love to see Wes every once in a while. If you are thinking about selling your home, Wes is the guy who you want to reach out to. Sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. And all we hear is stellar stuff about Wes. First of all, he's just an awesome guy. And second, their communication is really the key, I think, for home sellers. A lot of people who work with Wes, you know, maybe they're selling a parent's home or something, and they're not even living in the area. And so they need someone who's going to be able to help them, and communicating and keeping in touch and making them understand what's happening every step of the way is just something that's so valuable. Carlos said that was the case for him and his family. Selling property is stressful, especially in a volatile market, but we never doubted our decision to sell with Wes. He understood our needs, knew the market, had a recipe for success. With an out-of-state move and needed repairs, we had to rely completely on someone we trusted, and Wes and his team handled everything. From repairs to staging, showings, negotiations, and closing, all was done with care and precision. We sold quickly and for top dollar. If you want a dedicated, experienced team that goes above and beyond, sell with Wes. Yes, indeed. Sell with Wes. Sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. It was funny. I posted a picture of me, you, and Wes because we just never see him. And we text all the time. He came to the studio. And he texted us this morning. He's like, wow, people are really mean on social media or something to that effect. And I was looking back at the post because whenever I post anything, of course, social media, you get the haters, right?
Yeah.
Especially if I post about a show advertiser, they want, you know, to cost us money. So they want to spam the advertiser like, blah, blah, bigot. And he was like, apparently people were just, you know, saying unhinged stuff in this post. And he was like, are people always like that? I'm like, I looked at it. I was like, actually, I didn't think it was that bad compared to our usual posts. I actually thought there was relatively little hate. Yeah. Oh, it was just funny.
No, it's funny. He's stylish.
He is really stylish. He always comes in his leather coat. Anyway, our daily subscriber show poll. I wanted to ask you this because we talked about that. What was the website? Optouttoday.com. Mm-hmm. Let me go back to it. Hold on. Optouttoday.com. Optouttoday.com. That can help you opt out of the unions, and not just in Washington State, elsewhere as well, where you're allowed to opt out of unions. But I wanted to ask to see, sort of engage, how many of you belong to unions. So I asked subscribers on Patreon, Locals, and X that exact question so I can better know my audience. Sometimes I like to do that with our show polls. So do you belong to a union, yes or no? Nicole, you can't really answer this one. And if you've formed a union, I hereby am here to inform you that that union is null and void.
Busted.
If I catch you and Miranda and Daryl behind the scenes with any sort of union talk, busted immediately. What percentage of our subscribers do you think are union members? You want to guess that?
Sure. I'm going to say 18.
Wow, very close. 15.
Okay.
Yeah, 15% of you are saying, yes, you are a member of a union. Julie, this is interesting. I answered no, but up until October of this year, I was with SEIU.
Wow.
Leaving the union was a consideration for a number of years. Glad I finally left. Unions should have no place in public education, in my opinion. And SEIU, second to WEA, only second to WEA when it comes to impact and support of Democrats and what's happening in Washington State. So, Julie, I do not blame you at all for leaving SEIU. Norman said, yes, I work at a grocery store and we were in a union. Bolt up. I was given the opportunity to join when my work group decided to organize. I chose not to join. Look at you guys. Union busting on your own.
I actually think there might be some more if we kept the poll open tonight. Because, you know, a lot of them are working physical. Oh, yeah. I'd like some of the labor unions.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. Maybe we'll follow up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Y says, I was a part of SEIU and I was working in a research lab at the University of Washington. I hated it, but they made it sound like I had no choice. And now I wonder if I had a choice of not joining. They controlled even my promotions. Yeah, I've heard that. Mm-hmm. Because my next title would not have been a union title. And they made it sound difficult for my boss to promote me. And I never got to move up. Now I'm a part-time preschool teacher at a private place. So no union. And I love it. Kristen, I used to be part of a union, but I now manage employees who are. And we have actually heard from people who are, I think, getting to a point where they're ready to leave unions. Mm-hmm. And every time we do a story on the WEA and remind people that this is an option for you, more and more people, we heard this from Alicia Perkins, who really, that email should have been about Alicia Perkins. Why was it about me, you know? Alicia Perkins is the one who's outing the WEA.
We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll do a damn good job of it. But
she doesn't deserve it.
She says more and more, yeah, she's so sweet. More and more people, I don't know if there's a sweeter person who's been vilified more than Alicia Perkins. Like, because I'm not even nice. I'm not even a good person. So it's like, you vilify me, fine. You know, I put myself out there. Not the end of the world. Alicia, though, is like the nicest human being you could ever meet, ever on the planet. And so I always feel bad when she gets shit, because she just doesn't deserve it. But every time there's a story like this.
She thought she was going to jail after your Thursday show.
I said, this recording was secretly recorded, which is against the law in Washington. I said, we'll go to jail to protect our source, which I would. I would sit in prison, and I know you guys would send money to my commissary and stuff. Yeah. So, and for the record, I would run the prison.
We'd be eating like P. Diddy.
Oh my gosh. I'd be a queen. I'd have a duvet cover. They'd give me, you know, TV privileges. I think it'd be fine. I had a family member, I've said this before, who was incarcerated, and I'd go to visit him, and we got the red carpet. We got the red carpet, and then all the other inmates would try to get me to tell story. You, I'm in here. What would they tell me? I'm innocent. Can you look into my case? So then I was like a favorite among the inmates because they thought that I would look into their case and get them out of prison. Mm-hmm. So please, by all means, send me to jail. I'd have a great time. A little respite.
To finish that story, Alicia afterwards was like,
oh, sorry.
I don't want to go to jail.
Like, you're not going to jail, Alicia.
You're not going to jail.
It was hyperbole.
We'll go for you.
But she continues to get contacted by a lot of people who hear those stories and then they're motivated. Mm-hmm. They feel inspired to, okay, I'm going to either help you guys expose the WEA from within, or I'm going to leave the union. And both of those are great options, by the way. But the WEA has launched a full-fledged internal investigation to weed out our sources. But the thing is that our sources are multiplying by the day. Like the person who sent us the video isn't even the person who sent us the email. So there's nowhere left to hide for the union. All right, on some comments, a couple super chats on my WEA email, Lil Ms. J. Brandy, it is funny they call you ultra-conservative. We are anti-communist. I truly hope more actual union members see this and understand there are many of us who are union members who support you, Brandy and Nicole. I appreciate that. And just wait, we uncovered leftist organizing for test strikes across the U.S., especially during the 2026 election cycle. This is in preparation for the big strike in the U.S. in 2028, where they want to cripple the USA. I have no doubt that's coming. Looking up for Jesus, they are scared to lose that property tax money, which is paying their salaries and pensions. Well, yeah, I mean, they're definitely scared to lose that, but I don't think they're at any danger of losing their property tax money. I mean, they're in danger, I guess. It depends. They're scared of declining enrollment, because declining enrollment means declining revenue, right?
Right.
And they're scared to lose union dues as well, because strength in numbers, mm-hmm. money that comes in, and all of that. So I think they're always going to be scared about losing power or having their power chipped away at. Let's see. Matthew Cook, I'm surprised any of them celebrate Thanksgiving. Yeah. How could I ruin Thanksgiving when we all know that those are some lonely, lonely, angry spinsters who nobody wanted to invite over for Thanksgiving? Watermelon, BDS, Brandy Derangement Syndrome incoming. Yes. Allison Griffin, don't listen to your haters. You're very loved in Washington. I appreciate that. I feel loved. You know, one of my, goals, New Year's resolutions. I am not going to Home Goods for the first 3 months of the year. I'm not, because I've realized that people now expect me to be at my neighborhood Home Goods because I'm there so often. They're like, oh, I've seen you in here a few times and I've never said hi. And I was like, God, I come here too much. It's a problem. It's actually an addiction.
But you find joy.
No, I need to stop going to Home Goods. Big Princess, how much does Plymouth Housing contribute to Democrat politicians? Probably a lot. Papa Woody, who's buying the fentanyl for these places? Well, they give them kits, right? Mm-hmm. So they were saying in that video, we get everything we need to use the drugs, but how do you think they're funding their drug habit? They're still doing what they were doing on the streets to fund their drug habit. They're stealing stuff, etc. Matt, we don't have a homeless problem. We have a feral human problem. Let's see. Country Guy, how much money do we spend suing Orange Man Bad? And how much do we send to consulting law firms? Both good questions. Mm-hmm. They'll say, and their excuse for this, and I remember sitting down for an interview when I was in TV with Bob Ferguson and asking him this question. And he said, well, these are staff attorneys. So we're just paying them a salary. So whether they're on a Trump case or something else, they're still making the same amount of money. But what he doesn't bring up, of course, is the money they're sending to outside law firms to assist them in these investigations. And then over time, what is it? So I don't know if they'll ever tell us.
The largest staff.
He doubled the size of his office.
Ever had in Washington.
Just crazy. Jessica Diamond, they just want to hide drug issues behind paid for doors. Without mental health and drug help, they will end up back where they started. We need to look at the whole person and help in all aspects, not just giving them a home. 100%. And then Allison also said, being proud of suing 45 times is wild. I agree. That's embarrassing when I hear him say that. I'm embarrassed by it. On the Yakima Democratic group, did they bribe voters? Greg Olakis, the entire Democratic Party in this state, is an ethics complaint. Salty, you know what puts a stop to the election raffles? In-person voting. Does it, though? You could find ways. Come to your neighborhood voting location and we'll give you a TV there. I don't know. Let's see. On the D.C. shooter being tied to Washington State. Elemental, you see what the media says on the daily. I think someone who isn't used to the media landscape, I honestly could see driving people to madness depending on the algorithm. Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. The algorithm is a very dangerous thing when it's being served to people who either aren't equipped for it. And I don't mean stupid, but I mean generationally. Like, we've grown up on social media. And I think you tend to understand, I think honestly, the older generation is having a hard time deciphering. With understanding that the algorithm is giving them exactly what they think they want.
Yes.
And I don't think, and I'm speaking from experience with family members, I don't think they understand how the algorithm works. They think this is just like a encapsulation of the world, right? Mm-hmm. And what's happening. No, this is an encapsulation of the world it wants you to see.
Yes, absolutely.
And you don't know the other side of it.
And I mean, people that just live their lives and check in on things.
Right.
And so they're not keeping up with how technology is changing and how these worlds are. So not only, I mean, it could be someone our age that is just in a world like that, in a world, I don't know, that just doesn't deal with this kind of technology and media and and they just don't know how these things are evolving and taking over.
Yeah. I definitely have to, I always have to pull myself back in too. Mm-hmm. It's like, is this real life or is this AI feeding me something? And if I see too much of one thing, or I've started this thing and I highly recommend it. If somebody puts out something AI that's not obviously very obviously a joke or marked, I immediately remove them. So like if it's on X, I will say, show me fewer posts from this person or I'll unfollow them or whatever it is. So that's one thing I've started to do. Mm-hmm. Another thing I've started to do is, especially in this independent media landscape, if there are people who are consistently pushing out unverified info, I just remove them. Because you see that a lot on X, especially, I'm sorry, they're Democrats and conservatives, where it's like they pick up a narrative and they just push it out totally shamelessly. Even if I agree with them on certain things, I just remove them because I need to try to whittle down what I'm being fed so that I'm not hearing it. I mean, there's been times where I've been fooled, where I've put something in the show sheet like, did you see this, Nicole? And it's AI. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I, 100?
Right.
How did I not know that? So anyway, it's tough.
It's tricky.
It's a tricky. All right. I've got a great closing sanity check for you today. I'm going to shame everyone who's watching and listening. But first, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the RHA today. The Rental Housing of Washington exists to empower housing providers. So if you are a small to mid-sized landlord, you're having trouble maybe navigating or keeping up with the new laws and regulations and requirements, RHA can help you with that on a personal level. And then they're going to be down in Olympia as soon as the session begins in January, advocating on your behalf, because we already know that the majority party is cooking up crazy stuff to do when it comes to housing. So go to rhawa.org, rhawa.org, and sign up to become a member of the RHA today. And I will also say, besides maybe the builders, the Building Industry Association of Washington, I've partied at some of their events before and spoke to them. I'm not sure anyone parties harder than the RHA. So if you're a member of RHA, they have all sorts of fun events. Fun events and stuff. They're having this holiday gala on December 13th. But like, I'm like, these people party all the time. Same with the BIAW. I went down to speak at one of their events one time. I'm like, wow, these people really know how to have a good time. So I think in addition to becoming a member, you also find sort of a group of cool people to hang out with who are like-minded. So rhawa.org, rhawa.org. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right, it is that time of the year. No doubt you spent some money over the weekend buying crap for friends and family that they will never actually use. So may I recommend buying something that will not only bring you joy, but will make the world a better place? A subscription to Undivided. Yes, we are offering 30% off a subscription. So you can get 30% off a full year of Undivided by using the promo code SANITY. Promo code SANITY, and this is only good on Patreon, patreon.com/undivided. You're like, Brandy, are you using the closing sanity check to shamelessly plug a discount for your show? Yes, I am. Okay. And you know why? This is a very serious thing. We have become a player in the media market in Seattle and Washington State. And I've said that politicians and voters are absolutely to blame for what's happening, but more than anyone else, the media is. And unless we can genuinely compete with the legacy media, nothing is going to change in this state. So you helping to fund our show for $5 a month or more if you want to. There are higher tiers. The promo applies to all the tiers. Hell, you want to become a presidential patron for $250 a month? 30% off of that too. But until we can compete on a reach scale, nothing is going to change. And so what you helping financially support our show does is it helps us continue to grow. As you know, we're adding an employee in January. Miranda's going to be beefing up our social media presence to make sure that our videos and clips are getting out to more people. Another thing that we really want to pay for in the new year is some sort of marketing campaign. Ever since I launched Undivided 4 years ago, we've never engaged in any sort of proactive marketing to try to get our show out there. And we want to do that in some more traditional ways in the new year. And that is expensive. So we could definitely use your help with that. If you want to help us save the state and give common sense a comeback, subscribing to the show for $5 a month with 30% off is great. So this is only good until midnight. Clock runs out on midnight. The golden carriage turns back into a pumpkin. Promo code goes away. So you can use that promo code sanity at patreon.com/undivided until midnight tonight for 30% off. And that has been your closing sanity check. That has been today's episode. Is that shameless? Nicole says,
no.
Yeah. Your face says yes. Your voice said no. You can also, easy way to do it as well is go to undividedpod.com and just click on the banner. That'll take you straight there. If you go to the banner that says support the show, it'll also take you over to Patreon. I think that's it. I hope you had a wonderful holiday weekend. I am feeling, you know how the Grinch's heart grew 3 sizes?
Mm-hmm.
My waistline grew 3 sizes over the weekend. Oh. Feeling quite
good for you.
Feeling quite fluffy today.
Is that fluffy bread you made?
I made my first, I baked bread, my friend Nancy's recipe, for the first time, and it turned out great.
Amazing. Well done.
Nicole did not have faith in me, but it turned out great. I ate a lot of bread over the weekend. She didn't. She wanted a picture of proof, so I had to send her a picture. Anyway, all right. Appreciate you guys. Share that promo code. It ends at midnight. See you tomorrow.